Well, we're going back this morning. We're teaching about faith again. Is what is faith? Hallelujah. Kenneth E. Hagin, he said, I was raised up under his ministry, and he said faith is the most important subject in the Bible. And now some people would say, well, no, salvation's the most important. Well, without faith, you can't get saved. And the Bible doesn't say, without salvation, you can't please God. It says without faith, you can't please God. Why? Because you can't even get into salvation without. You can't get into anything that God has without faith. Faith is the key or the entry. It's the access to everything that God has. And if, it's like I said in the beginning when we started this series, to the church world today uses synonyms of the word faith. They say, what is faith? And they'll say, oh, it's trust. It's this. Well, how do you do it? And then the conversation ends. Because they have no, well, you just believe, or you just trust, or you just, well, how do you believe? How do you trust? How do you do it? And this is the important thing. The Bible describes how and what you do and what faith is. And one of the scriptures we had used last week, because I can't go back and teach everything we went over last week, but this week we're looking at things. We're dealing with the fact we've been dealing last week about believing in your heart. We're from the scriptures in Mark 11, verse 22, starting in verse 22 says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And in the original Greek, it says, have the faith of God. And some say, well, have the God kind of faith. In other words, that's what it is. Faith comes from God. Our faith comes from hearing the word of God. It comes from God. So our faith has to be like his faith. It's in his word. So our faith comes from him. It's what he has that he gives to us. So we get faith from him. So we need to look at things. Then Jesus talks to them about faith. Mark 11, 20, 23, he said, for assuredly I say to you, and that word assuredly would be the same as if you said today when you've set a person down, they used to, in a court of law, and you put your hand on the Bible and said, I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. That's what he's saying. He's saying assuredly. In other words, this is a fact. Jesus is making a factual statement. He's declaring that to these disciples. And he tells them this, whoever says to this mountain, so already we know this, he didn't say to you disciples. So, see, people say, well, this was for the disciples. No, it wasn't. He said, whosoever. The last time I checked, I'm a whosoever. Maybe you're not. Maybe you chose not to be a whosoever. That's all right. You go ahead. But I'm going to stick with the Bible. I'm a whosoever. So he said this, whosoever, whoever does this, whoever, he said, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So he lays out the principle of faith, of how faith operates. He's telling us faith starts with this, and where we were at last week, and we're going to talk about that area some more. It's about believing in your heart and not doubting. Understand this. What you believe, I don't care if God said it, will never come to pass if you have doubt about it. If there's doubt in your heart about it, it's impossible to bring it to pass. Jesus said so. So it don't matter what preachers preach. Don't matter what preacher says. Jesus said you can't have doubt in your heart. So in other words, and we were dealing with doubt in heart. What happens? We looked at the parable of the sower and looked at the condition of four different hearts. Hearts that weren't ready for the words, one that was. One produced fruit, but the other didn't produce fruit. They didn't produce what was needed. Why? There was other things in there that messed it up. And we need to know. Jesus is talking about talking to the mountain and having doubt in your heart. He didn't say doubt in your mind. It's about your heart. Faith is about your heart. It's about the inner man. It's about your spirit. You're never going to renew your mind with an unrenewed spirit. This is what many people are trying to do. They're trying to get their mind to believe something, but they ain't got the word in their heart. That there's totally backwards. The devil speaks to you from the outside. Why? He don't live in you. God speaks to you from the inside. You need to learn to know where the voices are coming from. God always speaks to me from the inside. He don't speak from the outside. He ain't outside. God lives inside of me. He's in me. See, and I have people say, well, I don't believe God talks to you. Well, I just got to say this to anybody that believes that. You're an idiot. God lives in me and he don't talk. The Bible is nothing but stories and all kind of stuff, God talking to people, and most Christians don't believe God talks. We'd have to throw the Bible out because they were all believers in God talking to people. I can hardly believe that God would live in me and be a deaf mute. That'd be a tough situation. Well, he went on there to say, he said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. In other words, he tells us that we can speak to things, and also when we pray, that same principle falls in line with the same thing. We'll end up talking about that. We're not going to specifically go into that today. One of the things that we used in a scripture when we started off, and really this has been a foundation of where we've been going with this, is from Hebrews, the 4th chapter. In verse 2, it's talking about the children of Israel, talking about why they didn't get into the land. Chapter 3 talks about it, goes into chapter 4. But it says this in verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. In other words, they had the gospel preached to them, we have the gospel preached to us. That didn't do them any good. Why? They didn't mix faith. In other words, there are ingredients to faith. We already see in Mark 11:23 tells us this, there was believing in their heart and their saying with your mouth. See, it didn't. When the children of Israel got to the land, when they arrived at the land, you can go back through the scriptures. God told them, when you get to this land, he said, this land belongs to you. It's yours. I gave it to you. It belongs to you. He said, so this is yours. Enjoy it. This is what you're going to. This is your baby. He said, I'm going to actually send hornets to drive the people out for you. He goes on to tell all the things he's going to do. So what they do, they get the land. They have 12 guys that they send in, the spies, to check out the land. They go into the land. 10 of them come back and say, nah, we can't go in there. We can't go to that place. See, they came back out. See, God said in his word, and it doesn't matter if they say, I believe what God said. It's what they said when they come out. See, they didn't mix faith. It don't matter what you believe if your mouth is talking different. It doesn't matter at all what you believe. You can believe everything that the Bible says. You can quote the Bible from front to the back. But if you don't talk what the Bible says, you're in unbelief. God said this about them speaking contrary to what he told them. He said it was an evil report. Do you know it's evil to talk opposite of what the Bible says? The Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. You walk around talking about sick. You have an evil report, according to Scripture. It's speaking against what the Bible says. Now, many people, many Christians, they talk evil reports all the time. They're doing it ignorantly, but nonetheless, it's an evil report. They're speaking against the Word of God. If God says something's a certain way, it should never be any different on your mouth. I don't care what your circumstances is. Your circumstance is going to always stay the same as long as you talk your circumstance. It ain't going to change. Because what happened? You will quit believing the word, and after a while, in your heart, your mouth's going to put seed into it that is going to start growing that doubt and unbelief you have, and it's going to grow that thing and produce it even bigger for you. You think it's bad now? Wait till you see the end of it. It's like everything. You let seeds just grow, they'll just keep growing and growing and putting stuff out. You put weeds are good at growing, aren't they? You let your dandelion go in your yard, you let it go to seed, you find out what happens. What I'm going to tell you, unbelief is identical. It's easy to cultivate weeds. You can get weeds are growing good. And we need to understand, we need to get a hold of that. These people didn't mix faith, and they came back and they came out and spoke against what God had said. So understand, they're not operating in faith. Why aren't they operating in faith? They heard the truth and they spoke against the truth. So we need to understand this principle, how powerful it is. Because we need to understand this. Faith is not about just believing. Faith is about words. Let me say this to you, and you need to, you know, we need to get a hold of this. Jesus Christ never spoke any words while he was in the earth other than faith words. And we know by Scripture, the Scripture tells us, he said, I never say anything the Father doesn't say. This was Jesus' success. Jesus' great success, the reason he could stop the storm, the reason he could do those things was not because he was the Son of God. It's because he controlled his mouth. You can't talk unbelief some and then talk faith. We have this thing. Understand this about the life of faith. I say the life of faith because this is about a lifestyle that you live, a way that you live. It isn't when you get around your Christian friends. It isn't when you come to church, you have certain ways that you talk. You have to set a pattern of your voice and what you say and what you talk all your life. Faith is developed over time. This is why when most people come along and come down with a terminal illness, they're going to die. Because they have not developed faith. And they always try to do it in the middle of the storm, and it doesn't work because it's developed over time. While you have time, when you're healthy, that's when you're supposed to be into the word about healing. That's when you're supposed to be meditating on it and get it. Because when something knocks on your door that you don't want in your body, you're at a place to stand. You're not trying to have that thing overtake you and you trying to deal with it. Most people, by the time they come around, most Christians and most Spirit-filled Christians will go to the doctor first, not even think about God, and then after they find out what's wrong, then they'll go to pray or they'll go to get prayer or they'll go to, after that. God is always second place, maybe third or fourth. The majority of Spirit-filled people do that. You know, the Bible tells us about Asa. God did a bunch of stuff for Asa and all those things, and it says he sought the physician and not God and died. There's a lot of Christians that are dead because they sought the physician first. Now, that ain't Mr. Popularity preaching, but I'm going to tell you what, I've done enough funerals to know. I've been around enough of things that are going on and watch what happens to people. I watch people in the middle of the storm when it's going bad and you try to talk to them, but they have never filled themselves with faith and they want deliverance, but you can't talk to them. You can't correct them anymore because, you know, well, I'm hurting. You're not allowed to do that. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you can't get correct in that, then just go ahead, pull the covers over your head, sign the papers for the funeral so it can be taken care of. You see, this is about a lifestyle. You know, this isn't something we can wait 10 years to get this thing running. We just may not be here. You're not going to, people, it's not a time to play to wait for this. We need to get over into these things. We need to come over to this lifestyle of faith to get to this place. We have this ingredient. First of all, you got to believe in your heart and don't doubt. In other words, you got to get to the place where your heart is settled in the Word concerning what you're heading for or what you want. God is not moved by your need. You need to understand this. If God was moved by need, everybody would get what they wanted. That don't work, does it? Have you noticed? I live long enough on an earth to find out since I've been a Christian, that one don't work. There's things that I've needed and God never did a thing about it till I got in line with the Word. And so He's not moved by that. What He's moved by is our faith. And so we come to the place and in our heart, getting our heart to the place we don't doubt. Once you get to that place, your faith has to be released. And it's released, that faith has released through your voice. It's what you say. We're just acting like God. God created by saying. In the beginning, God spoke and God said and brought things into creation. We need to understand, to bring things from the spirit realm, good or bad, you bring them in by your voice. Your voice is one, your voice is the most important thing that you got. Not your brain. Your brain's a lot of trouble. You're an idiot. You don't come to that point to realize you're an idiot. Well, then you're the biggest idiot here. Your brain will think any stupid thing. Then you walk along, you know, you're not following God, and all of a sudden you get the dumbest thought in the world's come to you and think, what on earth am I doing thinking that stupid thing for? I know better than that. But you know what? My heart never does that. My inner man don't act that way. That's why I got to stay tied to him. This guy, this thing upstairs here, this thing will pick up anything that goes on. Anything outside around me, the devil and any other nutty thing can drop a thought on this thing, and this stupid thing will start thinking it. That's why people, you know, today you go to college, you become one of the most idiots in the world because they teach you to be an idiot. They'll teach you all ungodliness. They'll teach you not to be godly and walk godly and do godly, and they'll teach you that. Your mind gets full of nuts. I mean, there ain't nothing but a few peas rolling around up there making noise, hitting each other. And we're hearing things, and we're doing things. You know, you got to do things, keep this thing in control. The Bible talks about renewing the mind. You got to get this guy on the inside, let him get his thoughts in that thing up there. If you don't, it's out of control. See, and most people are out of control. Their feelings are their number one things tied to their brains. That's their number one. Most people, the number one thing tied to their mind is their feelings. You know, because you can hurt people's feelings just like that. My words. Just don't pat them right. Don't say just everything exactly like they want to hear it. And that's why I know I can hurt people's feelings. I know that. And I don't really care about it anyhow. Because I got over it. Don't matter about my feelings. The truth's the truth. You know, the Lord said to me one time, because people always talk about you have to have a positive message. Positive message. I asked the Lord about positive message. He never talked to me a long time about it. And all of a sudden one day, just out of the clear, he said, "Do you know what a positive message is?" I said, "If I knew, I wouldn't ask you." I said, "I ask you about it. What's a positive message?" And this is what he told me. He said, "A positive message has to do more with the hearer than the speaker." He said, "If somebody says something to you and they didn't even say it in love, but it was true, you better take it." Most of you will take it if the person says it right, but you won't take it even though it's true because it didn't come the way you like it. I found out God don't always talk to me the way I like it. Sometimes God's blunt with me. But you know what? I need to get over it. I can whine all I want. I have done that at times. He said things and rebuked to me, and I whined about it. And then I finally stopped and said, you know, I ain't going to get nowhere whining about this thing. I either change it or what. But we walk around today. We have this. We want to have churches and go to a church where I really feel really comfortable. Get down to the bar. Have some drinks. They get real comfortable down there because they lose their minds. They sit there and drink and they're real comfortable because they don't think anymore. They're gone. Church ain't supposed to be that. Church is a place you come to get changed. If you don't need changed, what are you doing here? I'm here because I need changed. I spend a lot of time with God trying to get changed. What are we doing? You know, it's like going to school and I don't want them to teach me stuff that's harder. That's what we've done today. How can we make every class easy for the kids? How can we do that? That ain't a school. That's a place, that's a mental institution. That's a place where the people in charge are total idiots. We're not trying to make it easy on people. We're trying to put them under pressure to learn. It causes you pressure. I've had a lot of pressure on me to learn. You know, God picked me up from a good job, had to move my family across the country. He told me to go to a place I didn't even have a job, and had to go set up and go to school, work 45 hours a week plus go to school full time. And everybody else wants this nice little thing that I just come to a church and sit here and pat me and tell me I'm all right. Well, you ain't all right. Get over it. If you need patted, you definitely ain't all right. My wife don't pat me. She slaps me. Says, "Shut up, Ed." Hallelujah. Dear Lord, I don't want some fluff. I don't want to be married to some cake. Dear Lord, we're just so much in love, you know. My wife does love me, she tells me. Not always she loves me, but she tells me. You got to learn to, I don't understand people's relationship. People turn around, Christians get married, and they got to tiptoe around with each other. Can't tell each other the truth because somebody will get offended. That ain't a marriage. That's the world. Hallelujah. Hey, all that's free. That wasn't in my notes. Hallelujah. We may as well get over it, eh? Hallelujah. Well, we had in the scripture there in Matthew, the 17th chapter. I remember we had talked about this before because we're dealing in the areas of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want my faith, and I'm sure with you, you want your faith to be strong. That's why your faith, look, it is not an easy thing to walk in faith. It's not, you know, it's one thing to see as I learned from Kenneth Hagin. You know, the Bible talks about the good fight of faith. You need to understand, it's a fight. It says a good fight. It's number one, when you're in faith, you're going to win. That's the good thing about it. But it's a fight. Haven't you noticed? Do you ever notice you step out in an area when you start to walk in faith, you believe in your heart and you say the words with your mouth and everything around you is going the wrong direction. Everything's heading the opposite way. Everything that seems to be coming against you, coming the wrong way of what you just stepped out to do. That's about the fight of faith. When you step in an area to believe, because faith deals with this, the unseen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If what you see, you need to see something to maintain faith, you don't know anything about faith. Faith is not about what you see. The faith is about bringing to pass what you cannot see into this realm. That's what faith's about. It's what you can't see that you want to bring into the place to see. That's what it is. And you need to come to that. And you're going to have to use faith till that shows up. You're going to have to stand in the realm and not change. Believe in your heart, saying with your mouth what does not seem like it's happening. That's what you're going to have to do. That's what faith is. So faith is not, it's not an easy thing. You know, the one thing, salvation is free, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost you and you're going to have to work to live this Christian life. It's not for the cupcakes. Cupcakes don't live Christian life. The snowflakes ain't going to make it living this stuff. You don't get it. That isn't how it goes. Why? Because faith is always in opposition to what you see. Faith is always in opposition to your feelings. Faith is always opposition generally to even what most other Christians are talking and saying. See, I found out, I was never so glad to hear years ago when I was a young Christian. And man, I'm working at this faith thing, trying to develop, man. I'm working and this is hard stuff. And I feel like, man, I am in a boat rowing upstream. And all of a sudden I get a tape was given me, this is back in the tape days, of Jerry Savile. And Jerry Savile talked about his Christian walk and starting off. And he said, man, he said, I'm like rowing upstream. And he said, like, you know, you're sweating, you're working, trying to get going, you're heading. And he said, all these Christians are floating by, going by the other way, saying, come on with us, Jerry. Come on, you don't have to do that. You can, oh, you know, just come on with us. And he said, I'm working at this thing, you know, going this, and I'm God, what am I doing? But he said, over time of staying in the direction, he said, it got to the point where I got a sail. And he said, I'm not straining like I did. But see, most people won't. Most people will give up because of the strain, because you're pushing against most of whatever else goes on around you. Look at Jesus. Jesus, this wonderful guy, you know, he tells a good fight of faith. And he says to his disciples, you know, they hate me, they're going to hate you too. I just want to know this. You're going to follow God, there's a lot of people going to hate you. Get over it. They ain't going to love you. If you start a seeker-friendly church, it's because you want everybody to like you. Everybody's not going to like you. And if you want to have that to have faith, forget it. He said, in the world there's tribulation, there's trouble. How many of you are still alive in this world? Yeah, there's some, not many raised their hand, so I guess most of you are dead, so you're gone anyhow. So... We're in this world, and you know what's in this world? Trouble. And it ain't changing till we go. It ain't changing. So trouble, they hate you. Jesus said, if you don't love me more than you love mom and dad, you don't love me more than this, you know what I mean? Basically, then you don't love me. I mean, Jesus was really trying to butter him up. He had a seeker-friendly church, didn't he? I mean, he was looking for really people to butter up. We need to tell people, you want this God that we have, it's cost you your life. Oh, you can get in free, but you get in here. If you want to live this life and have the glory of this life, it'll cost you, but I'm going to tell you what, it'll be the best price you ever paid. I don't want any other life. This is the best life I have ever had. My life in the world is stench. Too many Christians like the world life too much. They never gave it up. It was one thing, it was easy for me. I gave up my other life that when I got saved, at the night I got saved. I told the Lord, I'm done with the other life. I told the Lord, friends, nobody follows what? I got the point with the Lord. I told him, I said, if my wife don't come in the kingdom and follow, I'm going to follow you. Whatever she does, she can go do. But I'm following you. Most people love other things and other people. They keep clinging, and they don't realize that's the thing that keeps them from going on and bringing the other ones in. They're clinging. They're clinging to what's out there. No, it isn't. You cling to Jesus. You come over and lay yourself on him and say, hey, man, you're the most important thing in my life. What the rest of them do, it don't matter. And I will tell you, it'll be the best blessing that you'll ever do for the people around you is you follow God. Jesus was a blessing to this world. And it wasn't because he was a son of God. It was because he came down here and did what his Father said in spite of everybody else. We got salvation because he clung to no one here. And in not clinging to them here, drug a whole bunch in. We're in today because of him. Hallelujah. He loved the Father more than the praise of men. He loved the Father more than anything. And praise God, you and I today have the benefit of it. Glory to God. The disciples in Matthew 17 were trying to cast a demon out. While they're there trying to cast this demon out, disciples came, it says in verse 19, then the disciples came and said to privately Jesus, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible for you. So in other words, he said to them concerning unbelief. Why? And he says this, if you have faith as a mustard seed or as faith as a seed, we found out what faith as a seed was. The seed is the word of God. In the parable of the sower, the seed is the word of God he's talking about. He said, if you have faith like a seed, everybody gets tied on the mustard plant. It ain't about the mustard plant. It's about the seed. The seed is what produces. The mustard plant is of no value without the seed. The seed produces the mustard plant. People, you know, talk about, well, you know, what was the tree first and then the seed? The Bible's clear. The Bible says that God, the seed, came up out of the ground and produced the trees. That's what the Bible says. Why? God always puts a seed. What was the seed God put in the ground? His word. He put his word into the earth. It came first. The trees grew because there was seed planted. There was words planted. When God gave Adam dominion over the earth and everything in it, God gave him dominion. Adam was to reign by his mouth here. He didn't have to run around smoting everything and doing everything. Did you ever think about this? Now, the Lord never said anything to me about this, but I always thought about this. God turned around and put him in a garden and put two trees in there, the tree of life and the tree. And we'll eventually talk about this, the tree of life and things. I want to talk to you about your mouth as your tree of life. The tree of life is still here today. It's what you're doing with it is why you may not have it or you have it. It's why. But there was a tree of life there, and there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, you know what? I give you the garden you do what you want with. You know, I often thought about, why did he go out there and cut that sucker down? He was in charge, but he didn't. He left that thing sit there and tempt him and tempt him and tempt him and tempt him. You need to understand this. They didn't all of a sudden in one day eat the fruit of that thing. They planted the seed. They were saying words. They were talking about that tree. See, there's things you need to get away from. God put it in the garden. He needed to get, and he did. He had rule and reign over that. I'd have cut that bad boy down. Say, God, if you don't want me to, you're going to have to take the axe out of my hand. Because I'd be over there at that. I'll be doing what Jesus did. You know, he could have cursed that tree and said, don't ever bear any fruit. It would have obeyed him. It would have worked for him because he wasn't developed in unbelief. He had never been. He had not knowledge of evil. He only was speaking what God said. He could have made that tree die. I'd have killed that tree. That's just me. I didn't say God told me that, but I thought, why on earth would you walk around that thing tempting you all the time? Well, why do you put up loads of things that tempt you and you won't get away from? That's what I want to know. Christians got it all the time. Stuff they need to cut down. Stuff they need to get away from. Good preaching, folks. I'm just telling you. I'm talking about, hey, if we want our faith to work, you don't need temptation. You got enough of that. You got enough of temptation out here without helping it around you. Glory to God. Woo! Good preaching, Ed. I'm really getting meddling today, but I'm enjoying it anyhow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Talk to them out. I want you to understand this. There's something that Randall gave, because we're going to be dealing the areas of confession, because there's two sides to confession. There's two parts to confession. And this is where the majority of the Christians fail, is in the area of confession, because mostly we're taught on the confession of our faith. And people go over there and make confessions and they never work. It's because there's two sides to confession. And you need to understand which side you're on when you're doing it, what's going on. Randall Greer says this, and I like it the way that he put it. I thought it was good, and I'm going to quote after him because I thought he did good. He said, we don't speak the word of God to try to get God to do anything for us. We're not doing that. That ain't why you speak the word. You don't speak the word. The word, we speak the word based upon promise of what God already says he's done. You know, salvation's already done. I confess the lordship of Jesus, believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, from the work God has already done in Christ Jesus. Jesus ain't going to the cross again. Jesus ain't going to get raised from the dead again. That's all been done. So what we're doing is we're making a confession. We aren't doing it for God's benefit. God didn't need saved. Ed did. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. They're not for God's benefit. He has no lack want. He ain't up there worrying. He ain't got no problems. He ain't in the trouble Ed's in. It's for Ed. I confess the word and I speak the word and things for Ed. And you do it for you. It's not for God's benefit. It says he's already done. He said he's already done everything he's going to do to bring his promise to pass. He's done all he's going to do. We have things to do that cause that promise to come in fruition on this side or come to pass into this side, where we're here in this natural. Now, he said this. Now, why do we speak the word? Number one, we speak the word to get into faith. And then number two, to stay in faith. You got to get into faith. You need to understand the difference. Many people are making confession. They're making confession, believing they're saying something of faith, but they've never really got it into their heart well yet at all. They haven't got it in their heart. You need to understand, confession is what's used to get the word of God into your heart. See, the Bible says that. Why did God send preachers? And over in Romans 10, you go over, he sent preachers. He said, that's why he did it, to preach the word. Faith comes by hearing. That's why he sent preachers. He sent people. You cannot get faith in your heart any other way than through speech. You don't get faith in your heart by reading the Bible in the morning and doing it. You don't get faith in your heart from that. You get faith in your heart by sowing words. Jesus said so. Jesus said the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. Words are how you get stuff in your heart. Stuff gets in your heart by what you say. Your speech is the most important thing you got about you. James said that the tongue, or in other words, your speech, he said it only takes a little bit of it to get a big fire going. Well, how does that happen? You start talking something, it gets in your heart. You start talking the wrong things and it gets into your heart. You start saying the wrong stuff and it gets into your heart. And the next thing you know, you got a big fire going. Why? Because over time, and it doesn't happen overnight. You can do something, you could say, saying something one time, whether it's good or bad, produce nothing. Look, when I'm here preaching to you, I can preach what the Bible says, read scripture to you, faith can come to you from that, but you're generally not going to develop your faith from hearing me preaching. I'm just throwing seed out. 90% of your faith is going to come from your voice. Don't matter how much you listen to somebody else talk, your faith is going to come from what you say, not from what I say. It's going to come from what you say. What you're speaking. You have the most confidence in you. This is one that's Kenneth Hagin. I learned from him. He said this, if you're a liar and you know that you're a liar and lie all the time, he said, you'll never believe the words you say. He said, you'll never have a faith life. Because you won't even believe your own words. See, this is why your voice is so important. You want to bring things to pass. Why? Because you listen to you and what you say. Number one, you have around you all the time. See, you can't come to church once in a while and you can just come to church and hear some preaching the word and it's going to work. You're around you all day, every day. You got to learn to control your mouth every day around all the time. It's not some. This isn't something done here in church and we preach faith and you walk out there and work. Haven't you know it don't work that way? Haven't you noticed? You didn't come with great faith? My faith was developed by me in my house. I listened to people teach on faith. I learned what they knew about it. Then I began to go to it and begin to quote it and make it for myself. And I began to say the word of God. This is why when I sit down and I read a book, you know, I read a book. I sit there and read a book and I'm going through the thing. I want to get those things in my heart that are being said. I sit there and read them out loud. My voice is speaking. My voice is hearing them. They are getting planted in me. I listen to a tape. People say things, listen to a tape. But I will turn around and begin to confess the things that they say. I begin to say those things. Hearing them saying is good, but it is more powerful when I'm saying them. And I can't 24 hours a day, 7 days a week listen to them. But I can be talking in that period of time. I can be saying a lot of things and doing a lot of things. What am I saying? Jesus said he never did say anything the Father didn't say. He was highly developed. He had developed himself for 30 years. When he went in the ministry, it was perfection, man. It was perfection. Because he had learned to control his mouth and talk. And this is why he was highly developed in faith and things worked through him. He was super highly developed. The reason it don't work from you, you haven't been developed. You've been talking about faith, but you haven't been following the principles of faith. And I'm not saying that criticism. That's all of us. Man, I'm still working at this baby. I'm still working on this thing. I'm not highly developed in some areas, and I need to become more highly developed. And I get highly developed by finding out what God says and begin to speak what He says in situations, speaking about things, His view. And so this is how we find it. This is how we get over to it. We need to get the seed in us and get the seed in us and get the seed in us. I want you to understand this. If you want to get things out of you that are in you that are wrong, you know how you do it? By getting yourself up and confessing the Word more and meditating on the Word more till you drive that out. That's how you get it out. You get over there. You just keep planting so much seed and watering the seed that you got. You just keep putting it in and putting it in till after a while that other thing can't live in there with it. You see, farmers will go out there today in the natural. They do things. They put herbicides on to kill out the weeds and stuff. They put those things in to kill the weeds out. Why? So the thing grows. Well, don't drink Roundup, okay? That ain't going to get it out of your heart. Don't drink Roundup. You don't want to do that. What you do is you just keep planting the word in you and pray. It'll eventually, those seeds will drive out that other stuff, that unbelief. It'll be gone. It'll be nothing but belief in you. That's how you do it. You get other things out of you. If you have trouble in the areas of getting religious stuff out of you that of the past, you haven't been putting enough word in you. You should start have been driving a lot of that out, getting that out of you. Getting that stuff out. You're going to have to go to the Word. Because if you don't, whatever you'll let live there, it'll live and flourish. It'll produce fruit. It'll do that. So but you keep putting the Word. You keep going over. We're going to talk about what and how you do this. We'll discuss these things as we go along in our teaching. But it's important that we understand them. You know, we read the Scripture before, but I want to read it again in Mark, the 4th chapter. In verse 26, I'm going to start. And it says, "And he said, the kingdom of God is if a man scattered seed on the ground." Now he says scattered seed, or the King James says sow, which is right too. Sows, in other words, sowing. We found out the sower. What's a sower sow? Sow the word. Now I want you to see this. This is what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is as if. This is the principle of the kingdom. The kingdom is about sowing. It's about sowing seed on the ground. It's about sowing seed. We found out the heart was the ground, or the spirit of man's the ground, and the word of God's the seed. The word of God is the seed, and he's taught, this is the kingdom of God. You need to understand. This is why Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. It's in your spirit. You were born again. You have a born again spirit, your spirit man. Words put seeds in that, those words of God are seeds in your spirit to grow. That's the kingdom of God. That's how the kingdom of God operates and works. It works by you putting words in your spirit and bringing those words to pass in this life. That's the kingdom. That's how God's kingdom works. When you get over to God's kingdom, when we go to heaven, most Christians are going to be totally stupid how it works. They're going to get to heaven and this is what's going to happen. You're going to have to go sit in classes about what you didn't learn here of how the kingdom works. You don't automatically get it up there. If you have an unrenewed mind, your unrenewed mind don't leave you cause you go to heaven. Your soul goes with you. If you're dumb here, you're going to be dumb there. This whole stupid idea, the socialism of heaven, this is the church today. You get to heaven and everything's just that wonder. No, you're a nut. Now you're going to be a nut when you get there. And you're going to have to get the nut driven out of you there. They're going to do it by the word of God. You're going to have to be taught. I'm going to go sit and listen to teaching. God's word is forever. It ain't something we have. We get to heaven, we don't need it anymore. My God, I don't know what people think. The Bible is clear on the subject about what's eternal, and the church don't think it is somehow. I don't know how it. People, I guess, don't know what words. People must be pretty stupid. They don't know what words mean. It's eternal. You get to heaven, it's eternal. Whether you realize or not, you're not going to get to heaven and know everything God knows. We're going to have to develop and grow as we're in the kingdom there too. That's the nature of the kingdom. That's what we're finding out. That's why we're to Jesus teaching these parables, how the kingdom works. Why do we think we die, go to heaven, and ain't there? This is about there, how it works. It don't change. It's about words being planted and bringing things to pass. God's kingdom never changes. God's still the same creator he always was. It never changes. And it won't change for you either. You ain't going to be some big fat baby laying on a cloud somewhere playing with a harp. Dear God. You got to go to the Vatican to get that dumb. Not trying to be unkind, but it sure is true that Christianity is so filled with much stupidity that it is amazing. It's like we've been so chill. We can't even read words in the Bible of what they mean. You know, a lot of people, this kind of stuff to me, I always thought that's the way it was because I just read the Bible as a young Christian and figured, wow, my words, this is the way it runs. He's telling us what it is. But we get to this out of here. Oh, I want this new revelation. You know, I need this new, dear God. Hallelujah. My words. There's just so much across the word. But one of the things that's saying here about the word, he said they scatter seed. In other words, the seed of God's word gets in the ground or into your spirit. He said, and in verse 27, he said, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately puts a sickle in because the harvest is come. In other words, he's teaching us about faith. Faith takes time and development and the planting of those seeds. They just don't jump up overnight. See, this is one thing. Most people, remember the parable of the sower? The ones who were impatient, they only lasted a little while. See, that they wanted to have fruit right away. You know, I've got in this thing and I made a faith confession last week and nothing seems to change. Well, the Bible done told us it not. So get over it. If you'd have read the Bible, now I know what a lot of preachers say, but you know what? The more, you understand this, the more highly developed you become in this, the more you can change. I have gotten more, really, from a standpoint, one of the areas of my Christian life and faith, dealing with the areas of healing for myself, I got really highly developed in this area. I can bring things to pass really quick. But I want to tell you what, most of you probably haven't worked in your own Christian life as much as I did in this one subject. And I believe God pushed me in this subject because God wants people who are professionals at teaching it and not just making quotes from the Bible. Just like some people, God pushes them over in other areas to become really professionals at teaching. They learn how that thing operates. They get over and get highly developed in that area. They can teach people how to do it. And this is what you want to do. If you want things and you want to become highly developed, I can change things. I could do a lot of things to stop pain real quick. I can do that myself. I can do those things. But it didn't, I'm going to tell you what, folks, it didn't happen overnight. I worked at it and worked at it and worked at it, become developed concerning my mouth. I don't sit around and talk sickness and disease. Don't try to hold a conversation with me on it. I'll talk to you about healing. I'll talk to you about getting delivered. I'll talk to you about getting saved. But I don't need your doctor's report to get you well. Well, if he loves me, he would turn around and listen and let me say what's on my heart. No, I don't want to hear what's on your heart because you're going to stay sick being so stupid. You need to get that out of your heart where sickness takes such a dominance. I'm not being mean. I want to see people well. I hate to see people sick. You know how many times I had to watch people die and do their funerals? You sit and you watch it. You know the answers and they will not listen. Because they have their beliefs. I don't care what. You know, if I need help in an area, I'm going to the guy who's the pro at it. I'm going to listen to what he says to get out of it. I'm not listening to some knucklehead who's sympathetic with me. And it isn't mostly sympathy. It's pathetic is what it is. You don't need sympathy. When you're dying, you don't need sympathy. You need deliverance. You need to have an ear to hear. That's the day to have an ear to hear. That's not the day of come and pat me on the back. Because if we're going to pat on the back, well, I'll just be making funeral arrangements. I'll get the sermon ready to preach to the people. You know, try to comfort them because you wouldn't listen. Maybe I can get some of them to listen. See, this is what we go through as ministers. You said, lots of times I have the answer. I don't get it because I'm bright. I'm just a vessel God uses. God shows me things a lot of times. It's way outside of what I know. But he shows me to help a person deliver. How many times people won't accept it? I've got the point, unless God specifically tells me anymore to tell a person, I don't say. Because majority of the time, it's been a waste of time to say. Don't get that. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there when they can't say the truth. Say, I want help. And so the help comes and say, I ain't the help I wanted. Somebody else. Let's get some. Is there another one out there? Is there another one maybe? Like Kenneth Hagin told us. He said, most people come and said, ever want counseling? He said, they don't want counseling. They want you to agree with them in what they're doing. See, I didn't know about that when I first had it. But now, boy, today, I said, my God, that man was right. They come for counseling and you tell them different than they wanted to hear. Man, it gets ugly. After a while, you ain't no Christian. A woman or a man comes to marriage and the man comes or he wants to, he's mad at his wife or his wife's mad at the man. They come and they talk to you and you say, what did they say about this? I'd like to know what you said about what they did. What would they say about you? They get mad at you. They don't want you to. I've had people tell, I don't want you to talk to them about it. Well, I said, I'm sure you don't want me to talk about it because they ain't going to say what you're saying and we're going to find out. You don't want to hear it. You know, I only want you to listen to me on the subject. I read the Bible. It says when you hear the other side of the story in the Bible, it says it changes by what you... That's the book of Proverbs says. It's a whole lot different when you hear the other side. Listen to the other side. I learned this in counseling. You don't listen to one side. And a person that don't want you to listen to the other side is because they're wrong on what they're doing. They need corrected too. The other person might be a problem, but they need corrected too. See, people don't. See, I found out God taught me a long time ago. My wife would do something wrong, and he'd remind me of what I did wrong. And I think, dear Lord, this ain't going nowhere. Let me complain! Come on! She's wrong! Hallelujah! Good preaching anyway. But see, the human voice is how God's seed got planted in the heart. And your heart brings forth that seed. We don't know. You know what? You don't have to know how it works. Quit focusing on the how it works. It works. You get the seed of the Word of God in you. You get it in your heart, and you just keep speaking to say it. I'll tell you, it will produce. It'll start doing it. Gee, when I started off as Christian in these areas of healing and started confessing things and saying things, man, I'm telling you what, I was fighting battles and going down the road. But what I would do is I would go over and get out another tape of Kenneth Hagin and I would listen to it again. And then he wouldn't teach me. He wasn't Mr. Fluff to Ed. He was a guy who told me what I needed to do, and if I didn't keep doing it, it wouldn't work. He built in me the stability to stand. You just keep doing it till you get it. Keep doing it till it works. The Word of God is true. And if it ain't working, then somewhere you've messed up. God didn't mess up. Find out what you need to do. Just keep pressing at it, pressing at it. And I did that. I kept going after it till I got to the point. My God, this stuff downright works. Hallelujah. Started getting a hold of it. Knew how it worked. You know, then it became easy for me to do. But you know, then you got to watch yourself, because you can't get away from it then. Because what happens when you think you arrived at it? You don't go around and don't study it so much anymore. And after a while, you're off of it. It's like, you know, if I went through like school and schooling that I've had, if I look at the subjects that I went through past the courses, but I look today, I almost know nothing about them. I never didn't use them at all. Didn't use them. And you know what? All that information I got, it slipped. You gave me a test today. My words, if I got 10% of it, I'd probably be lucky. See, if you want to stay refreshed at things, you got to keep after it all the time. That's the way. If you want to use it, it isn't something. You don't go lay healing down once you got healed. That's what most people do. They get themselves some healing. They go lay it down. And next thing you know, they're down the road here after time. Boom, a thing comes. I don't understand. I've had people come on. I don't understand. I didn't have trouble concerning healing years ago, and why do I have trouble today? I said, man, that's an easy thing to know. You ain't stayed up on it. You thought because you had it, but you ain't been doing nothing. I said, did you go after today like you went after it back then? I said, man, I said, you don't go to 1/10 of the meetings you used to go through just to sit down and hear the word. You don't even do near what you used to do to get something. You don't do it no more. But now I want it. And so staying after things. That's why, you know, I'll tell you folks, I listen to stuff. I listen to teaching on healing. I listen to teachings on faith and those things. I listen to those things all the time. I have stuff that I listen to on that. Why? To keep that stuff alive in me. To keep myself, to get over. Many times I'll listen and I'll hear something say, you know, I knew that. I've been practicing that lately. I haven't been doing that lately. I need to get back over onto that again. You know, you work out here in industry and that stuff, and especially if you're in any kind of position where you lead or anything, they're always sending people to courses and stuff to go over, and many times things that you've been over before, and they send you there, and people say, why do I have to go this course? Because you're an idiot. If you didn't understand that, you're the guy that definitely needs to be in the course. They have a vision they want carried out, and it ain't yours. Man, the thing I hate is these people work are always trying to drag their vision into your stuff. They make you crazy. They do nothing in life, but they're always trying to get their vision, somebody else to carry their vision out. You know, I go work for somebody. I've learned this from my daddy. He was a good man. He understood. You go work for somebody, you're there for what they want done, not what you want done. He said, if you don't like it there, you don't stay there and fuss. He said, you leave and go someplace else. He said, they didn't make you come. You came there. They didn't invite you. He's a right man. He was a great employee every place he ever worked. And they always liked him, not because my dad was such a great guy. I got to be a lot like him. But my dad was honest, and he would do his work, and they knew it, and they liked that. You want to have him there if you want to get the job done. The guy who's always sweet-talking the boss, I know, I've been in supervision. They're the last people you want around you. Because they're only out to get what they can get. Woo! This man can preach, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to just start into something. We're going to pick this up next week. But I want to go to the book of Joshua because I want to understand this. We're looking at some principles that are laid out in the Old Testament. And you need to understand this. One of the great problems that it's been for the New Testament church today is because the New Testament church doesn't realize that the principles that were laid out in the Old Testament still stand today. We don't follow the Mosaic law. But the principles of how things were done has never changed because God never changes. The Bible says so. He never changes. His principles are identical under the law as they are today. They're no difference. The principles follow the same. And so we have some wonderful principles laid out in the Scripture that are very clear to us. And the book of Joshua lays out a principle of how to get the Word of God in your heart, how to get this thing running and working. And it's wonderful. It's one that Kenneth Hagin taught that I heard as a young Christian and learned to apply this principle. And this principle is wonderful and it works and it requires you to do it. Now, I want to understand you is we're going to just start a little bit into this today and then we're not going to keep going on with it. But what we want to do is look at this. This principle is for lifetime. This principle is not something you do when you have a problem you want to fix. The reason I'm saying that, you could use it for that, say, but you want to take this as a life principle, as of what you do all the time, of how you do things, especially if you want to be successful. If you want to be a nominal Christian, just, you know, you can skip some, you know, Sundays here, you don't have to listen to this, if you just want to be nominal. But if you want to have a successful Christian life and have a life that plays out in this earth, hallelujah, that God's blessing, it will be working and running. You must follow these principles. And so we have here in Joshua, now I'm not going to start the first verse of the first chapter. We're just going to down to 5. Moses has died. And this is God talking to our man Joshua. And he says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Well, that's good news, isn't it? He's telling him, I'm going to be with you. That's great. You know what? We got better than Joshua has right out of the blocks. The Holy Ghost is in me. God never lived in Joshua. Say, well, boy, I wish God would say that to me. Man, I got a better than that. God lives in this boy. And he ain't ever going to leave me nor forsake me. God moved in. You know, as Kenneth Hagin told us, he said, he ain't a hitchhiker just going along for a ride somewhere. He moved in. He is in us. God, we are temples of the God in the earth. God is in this earth through people. His presence may be around in places, but I'll tell you, his living is in people. His presence around hardly ever shows up. It only mostly shows up through the people. Because we're the manifestation of the glory of God. This is why people don't, they say, we want some God to pour something out of heaven that just sort of blows up here without us, and then I hate the way it works, and it will never work that way. It's God working through us. I mean, get that picture of yourself, God living in you. My God will change your life. You'll never pray the same. You'll never be the same. I don't ever pray to a God out there. God ain't out there. God walks with me every day. God is in me, even when it is Mr. Stupid. God is still in there, and he helps Mr. Stupid. And he'll help you, Mr. Stupid, and Mrs. Stupid. That's right. He's in you. But see, you know what happens? When you do stupid and you don't realize that he's in there, you know what happens? You walk around and you're a little whining, and oh, I keep messing up, and I keep yang, 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 yang. You know he's in you, you know what to turn to. So, you know, I was stupid, but I'm going to tell you, God's living in me, and this thing's getting changed. Hallelujah. God done moved in. He, you know what? He likes you in spite of you. He moved in. Glory to God. Well, he said, now listen when he says it. I want you to see this. He says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide and as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Now, you know what he says to them? He tells him, you be strong. You be of good courage. Now, he's saying this to a man who's unsaved. He didn't say, pray for me for strength. Pray for me for this. He said, you be strong. God's done enough in his word. You need to strap up. It's one thing as God taught me. I'd get over getting into whining, and he'd rebuke me for it. Do you really want to hear from God? See, God will tell you to strap. You be strong. You be strong. You can be. You be strong. Decide to be strong. See, we've had all this passive Christianity that has done nothing but bring in the church weakness, failure, all this stuff. We, you know, become a doormat to everything. And we let the devil run over top of the church. And didn't stand up and be strong. God told Joshua, you got a job to do. You got to, now think of this. This people have been running around out here in the desert 40 years because of disobedience. All the men from 20 years old and up have done died since out there. He's getting this other group ready to go in. He's going to divide the land. This ought to be cute. My words, you could hardly divide up lunch with most Christians. You better be strong. I'm going to tell you this in life. You better be strong or your faith ain't going to work. You better become courageous. You better decide to make a stand. You better make a decision in your life. You're going to do something. I was grateful that I look more and more as grateful I had parents that wouldn't let me be a weenie. That's right. My mom and dad didn't pat and pet me every time something happened or somebody did something to us. We'd complain and say, shut up. Some of you, you haven't heard shut up enough. You're never going to get courageous. But my dad wouldn't let us sit around and whine and complain about stuff. You were supposed to do something about it. Now you stand up. Now this is what you're supposed to do. Now you go do that. Don't matter what they said or what they did. You just go ahead and do that. And I'm so glad he did. You know, I found this out. When I got in the military was very easy for me. And you know what? Most people I was in, it wasn't easy for them. Learning to train and to do stuff was very hard. It was very easy for me. As my dad told me, they tell you to do something, you shut up. You work for somebody and they told you, this is the job. You don't like it, you get out. We were trained that way. And you know what? It made life easy. Because of my parents' training, when I came into the kingdom, Jesus could be Lord. Do you know Billy Graham said this? Billy Graham had a ministry for a number of years and was going nowhere, going nothing. And he said, why? He said, I always had Jesus as Savior, but I never let Him be Lord in my life. And he said, when I came the day that I finally let Him be Lord, he said, everything changed. I want to tell you, now, I'm not saying this in rebuke to anybody. That's some of your weaknesses that you have. There's areas you know Jesus ain't going to Lord in your life. You're going to have to come to the place where Jesus, you're going to be in charge. Man, I give that one up. I'm not going to be the Lord there anymore. I've made a mess of it. I throw it out. You're going to be Lord now. See, making Jesus Lord, that don't mean we need to give up our whole life a decision or anything. No. No, He's going to be the top of the list of what's going to get done. We're going to find out through Him. I decided when I made Him Lord, then I wanted to go find out what His Word said, what He was doing. See, many people, they don't go to the Word because, see, Jesus isn't Lord. So they're not over there. The Word ain't first place. Because what He said ain't on the top of the agenda. The Lordship of Jesus put me over to where I said, well, I'm going to have to find out what He said about something. I need to know. If He's going to Lord over me, what's He saying? He don't show up every day with a list and say, Ed, this is what we're doing today. So, but He told him to be courageous. You be courageous. You be strong. Decide to be strong. See, I'm going to be strong. Yeah, but I'm just so weak. The Bible says this, let the weak say I'm strong. See, you keep saying you're weak, you're going to stay exactly the same way you've been talking. That will never change. You don't change your voice. It says, let the poor say I'm rich. Poor people always running around and poor and looking for a free lunch are always going to be poor. They're always going to be poor. That's why Jesus said, you're always going to have the poor with you. It ain't because God sent the poor. It's the poor sent themselves. They keep saying, I'm poor and I can't make it. You just don't understand. I'm just poor. It says, let the poor say I'm rich. Well, I can't say that. It's lying. How could you be speaking the Word of God and lying? I want to know how you can do that. Or how you can let a word like that ever come out of your mouth. How any preacher could ever say such a thing. How could I be saying what God says? God says I'm not poor, and God says I'm strong. Yeah, but you look weak. Yeah, well, that's, and see, most people's faith's in the look and in the feeling. Well, I just feel so weak. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been there 247 million times, but I will not let it out of my mouth. It will never come out of my mouth because I'm going to place things that I need strength in, and I need my words in the right direction working for me to overcome. And if my mouth ain't in the right direction, I'm setting me up for a failure. It ain't the devil's fault and it ain't God's fault. It's my fault. I set me up for the failure. I did that. The devil can't make me talk what he wants me to. I must cooperate with him. I must cooperate. You need to come to that understanding. I must cooperate. So who am I going to cooperate? See, that's why I want Jesus, Lord. I need to have somebody to cooperate with. Dear Lord, I can't do this by myself. Can you? You can't. Then that's why we need to stay over at the Word. We need to have something to rely on. God's Word. It's the words of Jesus says, my words are spirit and life. And Charles Capps say, God's Word is spirit life. It's spirit life. See, your spirit's the most powerful thing you got. Your verse voice turns this thing on, and this thing produces God's will in the earth. It brings heaven to earth. Pray God's will be done in earth like in heaven. How does it do that? When your spirit hooks up with the Word of God and begins to speak it to bring it to pass. When your prayer life becomes a thing of changing things and a place, instead of a place you go whine about your problems. It becomes the place where you come in the face of God and God say, God, you know, I got this problem, but your word said this about it. You know, we got trouble in our nations. I go over and look in the Bible and find scriptures that God said about leaders and nations and about correcting things. I say, God, you said this. If the evil guys are doing this, this is what you're going to do, Lord. I expect you to take care of this thing. I'm speaking. I say, because whatever I bind on earth will be in heaven. I bind their operations in the name of Jesus. And I command that they be corrected in Jesus' name. And God's going, woo, there's finally somebody said something I can do. See, we need to be the people who change things. We need the people to change stuff. I'm tired of the righteous being run over. I am tired of our court system babying criminals, giving criminals lawyer, yet the person they beat up and hurt gets nothing. And the system, well, we put them in jail and can't wait till the next time they release them early. We should have loads of our judges and things should be in prison today. Yes. Need to be locked up. Heathen. Hate people. Don't care. They love the evil worker and they hate the good person. Oh, you don't know the bad life that they had. Well, good. Just keep treating them the way you are and their life stays bad. Let them get out there. So I don't want to understand. We let these guys out. They were locked up and we went through therapy and that stuff and they still come out and molest kids. Ain't you figured it out yet? You don't let them out? Don't you figure that one out yet? There's one thing about the death penalty. There's no repeat offenders. God gave the government the right to use the sword. And the governments become passive and the people and the Christians are passive and they won't put them to death against the word of God and then have the nerve to stand up and say, we love. God looks at it as hate. When you do the opposite of the word, God knows you hate him. It's evil. The church has become an evil society, an evil group. That helps the wicked destroy. Children aren't safe in our societies anymore. And the church has a lot to blame for it. Because they let every perversion in the church. And we can have it there because we love. Whew. My words, don't get me over on that one, I'll tell you. When I look at these things and I see them going on and people talk about love, it's hard to sometimes see it. Now listen again, verse 7 here. Joshua, he says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. In other words, I'm telling you, now number one, you got to do what was said. See, that principle don't change. The new covenant's identical. Jesus said to me, you love me if you keep my words. Jesus don't believe you love him because you said it. He measures you by his word, whether you love him or not. That's the Bible. We are measured by following the word. If you love me, you keep my commandments. He also went to say another time, if you love me, you keep my words. Saying I love Jesus has no meaning to him whatsoever if we're not walking in the word and following the word. It doesn't mean anything. He's why he says here, what the law of Moses, now he has the law of Moses, or we could say the word of God here. The law of Moses, in other words, you got to do this stuff. You can't sit around here and say, yeah, we know about it. Yeah, he said, you got to do it. He says, do not turn from the right hand or to the left hand that you may prosper wherever you go. See, you get doing it, you'll prosper. You do what the word says. It's the New Testament. You do what it says. See, many people have faith. I'm trusting God. What are you doing? Nothing. They're doing things that are totally opposite of the word of God many times and wanting to prosper. There's number one, we don't prosper just because we put money in an offering plate. That's a good thing to do. God tells us to give and it would be given unto us. But the Bible says God blesses the labor of your hand. Get a job. The Bible is clear. It says that a man doesn't work, he should not eat. I ain't feeding you. I don't care how hungry you are if you're not working or trying to get a job. If you're not, we'll do a funeral. I'm going to obey the word if it kills you. Because I ain't letting the devil kill me because of your ignorance. We need to come around to this. The church needs to come to the place where they start dealing with things. And they don't. You can stay on drugs. You can be a drunk. We'll take care of you anyhow. We don't care if you work or you don't. We don't care. No, our job is to take care of you. Don't run into Jesus. But God's a Christian. He's into that stuff. It said Janine was most seen with him. It says you have a brother and he's a drunkard. You don't even as much as eat with him, much less give him a meal. No, the church today, we start ministries to them instead of saying, stop it. See, God believes you can stop things. I'm going to tell you what, you'd be amazed how many people would stop things when people quit taking care of them. Loads of people stop a lot of stuff. People say, look, we ain't taking care of you anymore. We ain't helping you in it. You're on your own now. Adios, amigos. God's done left them a long time ago, but the church stays. We're just so darn loving. Oh my God, we're so loving. We're so loving, we're going to help you stay in sin till Jesus comes. We'll do everything we can to keep you in sin. Bring things to a stop. My daddy knew how to bring Ed to a stop. It's amazing. Thank God we could learn a few things. Now, let's see what this says. Now, here's what he says. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. Now listen to what he said. Don't let the word depart from your mouth. But he's not talking about not saying it. In other words, you don't have anything else in your voice but what the word of God says. You talk what the word of God says. You say what it says. He said, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That's why? So you can observe to do. Now see, remember he told him to be brave and strong and do it? Here he's telling them how you're going to be able to do it. If you will take it, he says, meditate on it day and night and do that for a couple of weeks. This is the lifestyle. This is the way we live. This is the Christian life. Hey, meditate. Now understand this. You are meditating all your waking time. You're meditating, and I want you to know this. At nighttime, you're meditating whether you know it or not. My inner man. Like you can ask Wanda. Wanda said, you know, sometimes she said, I wake up at night and you're over there praying in tongues. You're asleep, but you're praying in tongues. See, my spirit's alive to God. I wake up sometimes and I'm praying. I wake up and I've done this where I woke up in the middle of a prayer. Stuff coming up out of my spirit. Why? You put things in it, you get things that make your spirit active. It don't go to sleep. My inner man never sleeps nor slumbers. Why? It's just like God. God never sleeps or slumbers, and Ed don't either. My body needs a sleep. My spirit don't ever need a sleep. If I let my spirit take over, some nights I would never get to sleep all night because my spirit wants to keep on doing stuff. Sometimes it keeps me awake and I'm like, oh, good man, I got to get to sleep. My spirit gets so active in me, I get over into things and get so active. My inner man's like, woo, let's do this, let's do that. Well, slow it down, boy, slow it down. See, I got to live in this body. We got to wake up in the morning and do some things. Woo, let's go. See, most people, it's like, man, I got to get to the pillow quick. Because the inner man is so silent. There's nothing going on. Hallelujah. He keeps me up. But he says you meditate. Listen, listen. Here's what meditation is. This is the Hebrew of meditation. It's a root word that actually means to mutter. And you could do that in two ways. To pleasure or anger. In other words, you can do it for good or bad. You can meditate for good or bad. Your meditations. Now, what does it mean to meditate? One of the words is meditate. But it means to imagine. It means to ponder on. It also means to mutter or speak, to study, to talk, to utter. Meditation is you sit and think and ponder upon the Word of God and say what it says. This is how you get it into your spirit. This is how you get it inside of you. See, this is why there's nothing wrong with a general reading of the Bible and say, I read such and such scriptures in the morning and that stuff. That's not meditation. Meditation is how you meditate on something you put a single thought to. That's meditation. See, I'll meditate on certain things of Scripture. I might have a Scripture or two that I'm meditating on, and I'll tit those Scriptures, and I'll get them at the Bible. Like, see, I like to have them where I can look at them, and I'll look at them, and then I'll talk to them, I'll say them. I'll go speak those Scriptures. During the day, I'll speak those Scriptures. They'll come to me. See, you need to understand that this is you do all the time. You have a choice of meditation. We're always doing things that we can have time to go over to meditate on. See, sometimes on our job, and so our job, you know, we have to focus on certain things to do. But you need to understand this. You'll get to the place of meditation. And I'll show you in the Scriptures. We'll go over it next week. Will you go over it? So you are viewing in the light of Scriptures concerning making wise decisions in what you do. Because if you don't, you won't. You'll make decisions just like everybody else makes. It's by your meditation what you set yourself on. See, I find my time, sometimes I'm doing certain things that I can't specifically speak words out or do things because I'm focused on something that I'm doing, having to do. But there's all the time. When I get in my car around and driving, I ain't sitting and listening to radio. I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh. I don't listen to those guys. This is time that I have to meditate and pray. These are times that I have to focus on stuff. I can put, so if I'm an MP3 player and I put one of my MP3s I start listening to that's speaking in the area that I'm meditating on. And so the teaching's on that area. And it's speaking to me. See, and then I'm talking. And you know what? I'm sure people think it crazy. Who's that guy over in the car they're talking to? I want you to understand this. Ed talks to himself, and you're crazy if you don't. You're insane if you don't, because the devil will dominate your life if you don't. I'm putting the Word of God. I'm talking to me. I'm not talking to somebody. They say he's talking to himself. Well, I get it, buddy. I'm meditating. Because I'm going to tell you this. If you're not thinking on God, you're probably thinking on something you shouldn't. Woo, good preaching, my God. Somebody shut that man up. It takes work. Boy, sometimes certain thoughts will come to me. I think, I can't be thinking like that. And I got to get my meditation over right. And I found this a great thing to do. Your voice can really shut off a lot of thought. You can't listen to your voice and listen to other voice. Do you know that? You can't be talking with your mouth over here from a natural perspective and have over here listening to something else. You're going to hear what you're saying. See, and you've got to get over there to do it. See, people say, well, I don't. Well, they say you're crazy if you talk to yourself. Well, ain't none of those nuts that I ever knew that ever said that I wanted their life. You better talk to yourself. That's how you meditate. Meditation is not this yoga rot. It's not sitting down and having your legs crossed a certain way and your fingers like so, and you're just sitting there listening and let the devil pour something into you. Meditation is God is about you pouring something into you. It's about you being conscious to it, not becoming unconscious. It's about you being conscious to what you're putting into you. You speaking words. It's something you need to understand. It is under your control. It ain't under God's control. You're going to control whether you get things into you or not. Didn't God tell Josh? God said, I'll be with you. I anointed you. Is the anointing going to work? You don't get the word in you, it ain't. If you don't get the meditation done and get my word into your heart where you can do it, it don't matter how much I'm with you. See, no matter how much the Holy Ghost with you. The Holy Ghost with you, it could be a nothing but a freeloader hanging around you if you don't meditate on the word and get the word in you. And that's what he could seem to be. Well, he don't seem to do a thing. He can only do what I will allow him by putting the word into me and getting the seeds in my spirit. Because he's going to speak to me in line with the word. He's not going to speak to me in line with my unbelief and my crazy thinking. He speaks to me. And understand this. Understand this about gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit and manifestations of the Spirit are not number one for anybody's life. Ministry is not based upon gifts of the Spirit. Ministry is based upon the Word of God. Ministry gifts operate naturally. There's nothing special about ministry gifts operating and gifts of the Spirit in operation if you're moving in line with the Word. They're no big deal. I don't need a special class on it, special this or special that. The disciples in the beginning said they went out and preached everywhere and said the signs follow. Didn't say they had special classes and became some special. No, it just followed with the Word. The word's always first. 1954, Kenneth Hagin meeting with a number of the major ministers during the healing revivals in 1950, told them at a meeting, in front of all of them, told him, when you guys are dead and gone, I'm still going to be here. He said, because you based your ministry on gifts of the Spirit and I based mine on the Word of God. And he was exactly right. There's many of them that died 30 or 40 years ahead of their time. Why? Because gifts of the Spirit. Spirit didn't save them. Many of them died in bed because they couldn't believe God. Gifts of the Spirit won't deliver you and save you. The Word of God will. Thank God the gifts operate and work and they help people at times, but they aren't operational all the time and ain't always high, you know. But the Word always works and you get the Word in you. See, God told Joshua and gave him a plan that in his entire life, he could have success because you'll prosper, you'll have good success. How will you do it? By this. The meditation on the Word of God, getting the Word of God into your spirit. This is how you do it. It is not something done when you have a problem, then you get the, let's go to the promise box and find out what if is there a promise about this. That isn't how it works. You know, it's like being in school, you know, kids are sitting around there and they ain't listening in class all the time and then they come up for a test. That ain't the time to start studying the test. But that's the way majority of Christians operate. The test of life comes and they're set up for a failure because they ain't going to study till the test comes. And they're up 24 hours before the test and they want to have a faith that it takes years to develop. They want to go do brain surgery. When they turn around, have not had anything, they never went to school or nothing, did anything. But I read a book last night about brain surgery, so we're just going to do that one. Are you going to that doctor? No. This is why most Christians don't have success. Because it takes study, it takes time, it takes patience, it takes that meditation, it takes the time to do that. It's changing a lifestyle. See, we think changing a lifestyle is don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, don't do that. There's loads of nice people that don't do those things. And you know what? It gets to do their funeral. The devil comes and kills. They can't get things met in their life. Things go falling apart and wrong. That isn't what do it. The lifestyle that'll change your life is a lifestyle of the Word. Because the Word will change, just like James said, the Word will change what you do. He said if a man can control his mouth, he can control his whole body. The key to health, the key to wealth, the key to anything in the kingdom, anointing or everything, is about your mouth. It's about your mouth. It's about your mouth. It's about getting your mouth in line with the Word of God and being able to start to speak the Word. You get into problems in life and these things come along and you got You begin to speak concerning that. But see, the Bible tells us what to think on. Paul wrote to the Philippian church and said, whatever's good, whatever's pure, what's holy, whatever's right, you think on these things, whatever's good. Those things you think on. You set yourself on a meditation. So in other words, if I'm meditating on the Word of God, am I going to be thinking evil? Am I going to be thinking, no. You're going to be thinking on what's right, what's good. See, the Word's good. Now, we think if we're going to think on what's right and what's good, we would never rebuke anybody or say anything to it. He's not talking to them about the world's way of thinking of what. He's talking about what's good. You focus on the Word of God, because if you look back at the subject matter, he was talking about answered prayer. Prayer is answered by faith. In other words, you think on the Word of God. That's what's good. That's what's holy. That's what's right. That's what gives good report. You think of what's good report. See, the children of Israel, God gave them the Word and they gave an evil report. James said, don't think on the evil report. You think on a good report. What's a good report? The Word of God. Say about your situation. Think on those. Put those things. Make that your meditation. When you're in time of trouble and you're under stress and you got things going on, if you don't have time to stop and you don't make yourself time to stop and get your meditation in order, you're ready for a failure. So have one. You got to stop in the middle of trouble and do what you need to do to fix trouble. Most people, they want somebody to counsel. No, this is what we got today. It's called the prayer lines. Get somebody else. I don't meditate in the Word. I don't do that. Call them and get them to get it for me. And God in His graciousness at times uses those people, but they'll go back to it every time. And after a while, well, they don't just have the faith they used to. It don't work anymore. They never think about their laziness. I don't want to have to depend on somebody else. I don't want to be out there in life and have a problem and can't get to the prayer line, so we turn around and die. I don't want to go there. How about you? I ain't going to let the woman with the issue of blood beat me. I'm just telling you, folks. So you have to decide what you want in life. And I'm just going to decide what you want. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take the time to set in meditation of the Word of God. Meditation. You know, one of the things that I decided to go out to Branson, it just sort of, I didn't like the times that the airline flights were going, so I decided I was going to drive. Now, a lot of people say, oh man, drive that distance. Now, see, most people think, I don't think that at all. That means I'll probably pray in tongues probably a good 10, 12 hours. I'll be listening to stuff, and I'll be doing, when I get down there, I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be like gas thrown on a fire. See, I like this. Ken Casing and I were talking about, he likes to drive long distance to places because he said, I get to spend a lot of time with God. He said, going through airports and stuff, he said, it's always a bunch of chaos and stuff going on and stuff happening. And he said, when I drive, it's just me and God. And I like that. See, I feel sorry for the people who say, I just hate to drive that far. Well, it's because you're in the flesh. That's why you hate it. Because you do it in the flesh. You just go in the flesh and do your thing. See, I don't look at it that way. To me, it's time. I'm driving down the road and I ain't answering the phone. And see, I'm driving, so I don't take texts. If you do, your disobedience to God is going to cost you. Our government says don't do it. And if you disobey them on it, it's a safety thing. And if you're disobeying them on it, you're disobeying God. The Bible says so. Woo! I'm just telling you. You can't do these things. It'll affect your faith in areas. It's going to affect your faith. When you don't love somebody else's life and you're more interested in yours, don't decide the day you come and you need bailed out. You don't get bailed out. Well, you say, I don't understand why they died. There's a lot of things I understand why people died. I've never told people, but I understand why it happened. And they said, well, they seem such like a good person. Well, God didn't think so. You don't always know what people are doing in the background. You need to stop this kind of stuff. When our phones and stuff become more important to us than other people and other things going on, we have an unloving attitude and we need to stop this. This stuff needs to come to a halt. I don't mind turning my phone off. I don't answer my phone every time it rings. Well, I need to talk to you right now. Well, I'm sorry. We had years ago, we didn't have these things, and the world was better than it is now. It was a better place than it is now when we didn't have it. It don't have to be that way, but it's because people are full of the flesh. You need to understand, if you have to get to that phone all the time, you have a flesh problem where the flesh dominates you. You have a flesh problem. Now, this is the Holy Ghost talking, because these things need to be dealt with. You know, well, we have to have a phone. You never know. You get out there, and what if something happens and I don't have my phone with me? Well, you know, God left, so He's not around anymore. So, you know, He can't take care of you because of your holy phone that has all the power in the world to save you and deliver you. I deliberately set mine aside for that purpose. I don't want that thing to dominate me. I want God to dominate me. I don't want to have it there because I'm afraid something's going to happen. That's called fear, and that's faithlessness. Something's going to happen, and I'm not going to know about it. Praise God. Maybe God can get in it since you don't know about it. Because you think you're just so needed in it, you're already messed up. If God can't save you without Ed, He's a pretty much a weenie. Dear God, I would hope He's bigger than me, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you think you hope He's bigger than you? That if you didn't know and you couldn't do? Dear Lord, some of them people that you're trying to always stay in contact, maybe one day they'd get a hold of God. If we would quit being God to them and responding to them instantly. See, we've got to change things. There's things must be changed. You know, I remember the days when the phones came along, they'd tell them in service, people would turn them off. And now the preachers say, well, I know sometimes you need to be in contact with people. And they say, I'm going to tell you what, that's the devil. If you can't sit down and get away from God for some hours without having to pick up on the phone, you've got a problem. You have no faith in God. Don't come along and tell me something. Amen. Folks, it's just good talking. See, we talk about faith, but all it is, lots of times, blowing wind. Look, phones. These phones are a wonderful thing. I mean, I put all this stuff in my phone. I can do things and stay in contact and doing stuff. It's all nice and it's great. But I refuse to let it dominate my life. I refuse to let it dominate my faith. I refuse it. People can't get a hold of God, man, and they'll live with that phone. I mean, I can't stand it going around stores and stuff, and people, just everybody, walking around, they'd run into, they're stupid phones. You want to take a slap them upside the head, say, what's wrong? They care less about people, and the Christians are doing the same thing. They're ignoring everybody around them, walking around with their phone in their face, you know, looking through their stuff, walking around, don't know who's around them, and then say, you know, Jesus loves everybody. Well, wouldn't it be nice if you ever showed it through you? Wouldn't that be cute? But no, other people don't exist. My phone, you know, I got 4,000 friends. I'm not even on it. I don't know. I might have a one, but I know this. Jesus likes Ed a lot and talks to him a lot and reveals a lot of stuff to him. I got the best friend in the world. Hallelujah. I got the one that counts more than anything. He will beat anybody with 2 million friends. He's the best one to get. That's what I want. That's what I'm shooting for. I can get a hold of Jesus. He can get a hold of me whenever he wants. That's the most important. And I tell you what, I can't do it when the phone dominates my life. I can't do that. There's enough to dominate our lives. We turn around and have our jobs to do and everything else, and then the phone in between, the phone's dominating. Everything's doing it. Can't wait out driving a car. People driving down the road. Can't drive down the road without their phone. Without their phone in their face. They just can't do it. I love it, these people with phones in their face and they got that stupid fish on their car. I think it's mean because they're probably going to get eaten by a whale. I think God stuck it on there just to tell us what's going to happen to them. Woo! What a meddling preacher. We got to get stopped. There's people coming here. We got to get tore down to get out of here. But there's things need to be said, folks. We're teaching about faith, aren't we? Father, I want to thank you. Father God, for being so direct to us and to correct us, because we sure do need corrected. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. Lord, I know I need rebuked as much as anybody does. And Lord God, but I thank you. You never rebuke us or say things because you don't love us. You're trying to protect us. You're trying to keep us out of trouble. And I so appreciate, Lord God. Lord, you are truly a real friend. Lord God, you'll step across that line to speak to us, even if we get mad about it. But Lord God, because you don't want things to happen to us. You want blessing in our life. That's it. You did all that you could so we could be blessed. And I want to thank you, Lord God. We're going to walk and live in that blessing. And I want to thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.